Good morning, welcome back to Nachiyomi. Today we are going to be learning Malachi, Perek, Gimel, the third and last chapter of Malachi, and the last Perek in all of Nevi'im. So first of all, just feel the accomplishment. If you've been learning from the beginning of Nevi'im, this is the 369th Perek, which closes all of the book of Nevi'im, which is incredible. And this obviously leaves us with a lot to think about. I will say that this Perek is so complex, is so dense in terms of material, that it's not possible at all for us to learn it in a summary fashion. I really highly recommend that you have take the opportunity to spend a little longer looking through it, looking through the Mefarshim. There's so much to it. What we're going to do is just a very basic structure over here because there's so much to talk about. It actually forms the Shabbos HaGadol Haftarah. So from Pasuk Dalad to the end, which is Chav Dalad, the 4th to the 24th and last Pasuk, it is the Haftarah of Shabbos HaGadol. And in fact, one of the reasons why Shabbos HaGadol is called Shabbos HaGadol is because the second last Pasuk of this Haftarah, which is Hinei Anochi Shalach Lachem Es Eliyahu Anavi, Livnei Bo Yom Hashem HaGadol VaHanara, the day of Hashem is coming, which is a great and terrifying day, and that's why it's called Shabbos HaGadol when we talk about this, when we talk about the possibility of the end of days. In general, just to put all the pieces together, there are so many different ideas here. There are so many different, very, very famous psukim here. The concepts are so rich. And of course, it's important to remember that this is the last prophecy we're about to hear from a prophet of Hashem, until the time that prophecy is renewed. And that means to say that there are going to be lessons which are timeless in a way that everything that we see here is relevant to what we're dealing with today. But what is the theme? So the Barbanel, most of the Forish and the Malbim explain that the general theme of this Perek is what's called theodicy. Theodicy is the questioning of divine justice. How is it that it seems that bad people are prospering? How is it that good people are suffering? That is theodicy. And it seems to be that everything is in the backdrop of this particular question. So let's take a quick look at the Perek, just in terms of overall structure. The first section is going to run from Pasuk Aleph to Pasuk Vav, and this is where Hashem talks about Hinei Sholeach Malachi Upina Derech Lefonai. I'm sending my messenger, he's going to go in front of me, Upisom Yovoi El Heichaloi Ha'adam Asher Atam Vakshim. He's going to suddenly arrive at the Heichal of Hashem. He describes how when this Malach arrives at the temple, nobody's going to be ready for the day of Hashem's arrival, because it's going to be like a burning fire, like a deep cleaning soap, which is going to smelt people. It's going to take out all the bad, the negative. And at that point in time, famously, as we say at the end of every Shmoneh Esrei, Va'arva LaHashem Minchas Yudav Yerushalayim Kimei Olam Uchshanim Kadmoni Umkadmonios, Hashem will have the sweet. It'll be sweet to him the sacrifice of Yehud Yerushalayim, like the days of yore, whether it goes back to the times of Noach and Hevel and their sacrifices to Hashem, where it goes back to the times of David and Shlomo, going back to utopian times during Jewish history. And that's when Hashem is going to take to justice all the bad people, Eid b'maher, b'machashvim, b'anafim, b'anashpa'im, l'ashoker, those who practice witchcraft, adultery, those who swear falsely in my name, v'oshke schar sachir, and those people who take advantage of the employees, they take advantage of those who are perhaps less defended in society. So Hashem says, I'm going to, I am Hashem, I have not changed, and you have not disappeared. Hashem says, I am still existent, so too, that is part of my covenant that you still will be as well. So what's going on in this section? What is this business about this arrival of this Malach? Who are referring to? What's happening here? So the Malach says basically like this. In the last parak, one of the questions that the nation of Israel posed to Hashem was that they wanted justice. They said there's too many people who are bad, who are doing well. And so the Malachim explains that the response of Hashem is I am going to be able to give you justice, but it can't come in one foul swoop. I'm going to have to send my Malach ahead of me. The Malach understood by most of the Mefarshim is in fact Eliyahu Hanavi, which means to say that the Perek begins and closes with the same idea. I'm going to have to send in my Malach Eliyahu, and he's going to have to take a few prerequisite steps. He's going to have to do some fixing up of people in order that you can bear, in order that you can be able to deal with the Yom Hashem HaGadol Vanara, this terrifying day which is coming. Part of that process is tshuva, part of that process is rectifying some of the ills of society up till this point. That's what seems to be being addressed in this first section. That's a very good summary of what's going on over here. It turns out that this word used for this cleaning process is called mitzareif umetahir kesef. Hashem is going to smelt and purify silver. It is important to know how that process works. Smelting is a process where you take a raw metal or a metal which is still in the rock, and you melt it down in a large, large furnace. Today we have huge smelters. Smelters built today are, you know, tens of stories high. But what they would do is they would put the rocks in, and they'd burn down the iron, the silver, and they would burn it until the point that all the dross, all the, if they are not clean, all the non-pure materials would actually move to the side. You'd be able to pour out the pure material. In fact, if you ask a smelter, when do you smelt until, when you had a, let's say, a silversmith who would smelt the silver, they would say that they would heat it until the point that they could see the reflection in the silver, that the dross had already moved to the side, so it was pure. Hashem says, I'm going to smelt you till I can see myself in your reflection, until there's not extra stuff, there's no excess baggage in your life. That's what seems to be going on over here. Notice, by the way, at the Mefarshim pick up, the Radak points out that this malach is called Malach Abris, the angel of the covenants. So you might say it's the covenant of Hashem with the Jewish people for all ages. But he says, no, it's actually referring to Eliyahu, because Eliyahu was one of the, in his life, he was a zealous person. He criticized Klal Yisrael. He criticized the Jews for their behavior and said that they were not adherent to the covenant of Hashem. So Hashem made it his job that he's going to be the Malach HaBris. He's going to be the angel or the agent at every bris, at every covenant. Hashem says, you're going to see that my children, no matter if it's in a Russian graveyard at 2 o'clock in the morning, to give the bris milah to a child, to a circumcision against the law, when they could be arrested by the KGB for decades for such an action, they're going to still be doing that. They're still doing bris milah. And Eliyahu is going to have to witness that to see that Israel ultimately throughout all the generations are going to adhere to that, which is a remarkable description over here. Let's move on to the next basic section over here. And in this section over here, it's about the process of tshuva and some more specifics. So in this, Hashem says, you know, I'm asking you, shuvu elai va'ashuvu aleichem. You return to me and I will return to you, says Hashem. And the people ask Hashem, so what should we do to do to tshuva? What is it exactly that you want? Hashem gives them a very specific answer. He says, you know what? You're cursing me because you are cursing me b'hamaser v'atruma. When it goes to tithing, when it comes to the amount you're supposed to take out of your own grain and give it to the priest or give it to the Levi. And Hashem says explicitly, bring me all your truma and ma'aser, bring it to my house. V'uvuchanuni no bazois. Even test me on this, says Hashem. Im loy eftach lochem es arubois hashomayim v'arikosi lochem brocho ad blidai. You bring me the ma'aser, I will open up the windows of heaven and I will give you uncountable blessing for what you do. Just so it just seems to be that in this section over here, first of all, just a few points to notice. The first is that the first step of tshuva seems to be placed squarely in the responsibility on the lap of Israel, which happens to be actually a debate. The beautiful Midrash in Eicha Rabbah in Hei Chof tells us that there's actually a stira, there's a contradiction in Psukim. The one pasuk is we say to Hashem, Hashiveinu Hashem Elecho v'nashuv, Hashem, you bring us back and we will return to you. And Hashem responds here in Malachi and says, Shuvo Elai v'ashuvo Aleichem. You take the first step towards me, and it takes two to tango, then I'll join you. And there's this dispute, who's taking this quibble, who's taking the first step over here? Hashem says, it's your responsibility. And the Gemara in Tanis actually tells us that this is the anomaly. This is the exception outside of all the rules. We're not supposed to test Hashem. We're not supposed to say, will Hashem do this or Hashem not do this? Hashem says, there's one place in the world you can test me. And that is if you give Truma and Maaser, you give the charity that I demand of you, you will notice that even though it looks unintuitive that you're going to be throwing out your money, it seems to you, you are going to be blessed in a way which is incomparable. And there are people we know, there are people we all know who talk about this and appreciate this, and they say that they may be successful, but the more that they give, the more that they give in stocker, the more they see success in their hands. This is exactly what Hashem is saying. Hashem says, try me, because although it may be a complex history where it doesn't look like there's good going to good people and bad going to bad people, this is one element where you'll see Hashem explicitly. Then, which leads to the next section of the parak, where in which in pasuk Yud Gimel to Yud Zayin, which Hashem says That he's going to differentiate now between the people who are really his servants and those people who are not really his servants. Because he admits, he says, Chazku alai divreichem, your words are strong to me, which Yosef Ibn Kaspi points out. Rather, Ibn Kaspi points out this is the question of theodicy, all the questions that Israel has. You know, they're very strong to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he's going to have to differentiate in the future. When Eliyahu comes, he's going to write down in a Sefer Zekaron who the people really serve Hashem, who the people don't serve Hashem. It's still coming, even though it doesn't look like it might be right at this point in time. And finally, our perek closes with a description of the Yom Bo Hashem, HaGadol VaNora, this terrifying day in the future. The sun's going to come out, and it's going to heal the tzaddikim, and it's going to burn the Rishayim. In fact, the Gemara on Nedarim Ches Amud Beis points out that this is a metaphor. Is for the reference to the sun. The sun is going to be on one hand healing, on the other hand burning. Meaning to say, it's the same entity of truth that we are going to all face, and those who prepare themselves to face that truth will all appreciate that experience, and those who weren't will be absolutely incinerated by that same experience. It's not that Hashem is going to punish some in some way and reward others in another way. When the light of truth will shine, those who are ready for it will succeed incredibly. Those who are not ready for it will burn up in that same light. That's what seems to be said over here. And finally, the Torah the Perek concludes with a begging. Zichru Torah Moshe Adi. Remember the Torah of Moshe, my servant. And this obviously is important because after prophecy ceases, the only way we can really truly find Hashem and what he wants is through the Torah. And so this is the prophet endearing us across Brooklyn Ferry, across the ages, looking at us and saying, if you want to know what I say after prophecy stops, remember the Torah of Moshe. The Zion is actually a large Zion, which the Mepharshim debate why that is. But one of the options is that it refers to the seventh day of the week, the Shabbos, which keeps us. The Shabbos is the time we can learn Torah. It's the time we can invest in ourselves, the time we can make that connection to Hashem. We need to be investing in our spiritual world. Without that, we are falling off the sides. We do not stay constant. We are always moving down or up. If we choose not to move up, we're moving down. Remember the Torah. Remember to invest in the Torah. We don't become better if we don't invest in learning about it. That's what Malachi seems to be saying. And finally, he says, "Hinanochi shaleach lochem eis Eliyahu hanavi lifnei boyom Hashem agodol vanora." I'm going to send Eliyahu, like the parak began. Eliyahu is going to come the day before the day of judgment to help get us back. And what's he going to do? Ve'heishiv leiv avoyis albanim ve'leiv banim alavoyisam. He's going to return the heart of parents to children and children to their parents, lest Hashem come immediately, that the land be destroyed with Hashem arriving and that correction process not happening yet. Two things to notice at this very last point over here, and that is that actually, unlike some of the people who sing the song of the second last part of Pasuk, it is not Eliyahu Anavi, it is Eliyah. There is no Vav at the end of his name. And Rashi in Parshas Bechukai asks, why is it that his name seems to be missing, seems to be lacking this vav? He points out that there are five instances in the entire of Tanakh where Eliyahu's name is spelt missing a vav, and there's five instances in Tanakh where Yaakov Avinu is spelt with an extra vav. So as opposed to Yud Aleph Kuf Beis, it's Yud Aleph Kuf Vav Beis. And Rashi explains that symbolically, Yaakov Avinu takes a mashkon, takes a collateral from Eliyahu and says, I will hold the five vavs of your name until you come to help my children come back. And finally, the last point to think about is, what does it mean that the job of Eliyahu HaNavi is going to be being connecting the heart of parents and children? So this obviously could refer to the tshuva movement of generation gaps, which have been breaking us, and how much more greater in today's generation gaps, where the tshuva movement is going to bring and reunite families. But the Radak, quoting the Targum Yonasan, says something even more profound. And that is that really these are metaphors. An av and a ben, a father and a son, don't mean a dad and a son. What it means to say, it means a cause and effect. A cause and effect is where we do something and what we see at the outcome. When we look at something in the world and we look beyond it and say, what causes? Where does this come from? What's the source of this? We live in a disconnected world. We're disconnected from ourselves. We're disconnected from our relationships. We're disconnected from the Almighty. We're disconnected from society. We live in a very singular silo. Every person is living for themselves. And the ultimate success of the world is going to be when Eliyahu HaNavi comes and he's going to reconnect. He's going to reconnect Av and Bonim. the causes and the actions in this world. That's why, ironically speaking, I've once heard that Avos Ubonim, the practice of parents and children learning, is specifically on Motzei Shabbos, because the Shabbos is the beginning and the ending of the week. It's the Av, it's the power which gives us the energy for the entire week, and the week is the Ben. And that connecting moment is a place what's technically called the Avos Ubonim, the father and the son of that moment in time. We have that, and we beg for that, and we ask for that, that we see Eliyahu, and we have the opportunity of reconnecting with ourselves, with our families, with our society, with Klal Yisrael, and all of humanity. B'mehera v'yameinu. A tremendous Yashar Kochachem. Looking forward to seeing you in Tehillim. In the meantime, have a wonderful and meaningful day.